Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned into Paradigm Shifters, and we're going to teach you a little bit about shifting your own paradigm through your breath with the wonderful Judith Kravitz, who has actually, I believe, spearheaded a system called Transformational Breath. Welcome to the show, Judith.
Thank you, Veronica. Very nice to be here with you again.
It's wonderful to be here with you. Now, you started off with the rebirthing, didn't you?
I was introduced to integrative breath work through a couple of rebirthing sessions. I was never trained in rebirthing, but at that time I was a metaphysical minister, and I saw the power of breathing combined with spiritual healing. And I think from that point on, I was off and running.
Oh, that's great. And you had throat cancer, right?
I did. A few years after that, I had inadvertently found, I had gone into a doctor for something non-related, and he asked me about the lump on my throat, and I hadn't even noticed. I was just busy with mom with two young children, and just hadn't even noticed. And so through that observation and then a diagnosis, it turned out to be throat cancer. And that was kind of the turning point for me, whether to follow my heart and my path, which was alternative healing. And this was in the 70s, so this was before, alternative healing was solid, but it was in California, and I prayed, and the guidance was you have to walk your talk, girl. So I went ahead and used the tools I knew then, which was prayer and also the kind of a rough form of the breathing, but it was certainly solid enough to take me inside and to help me integrate a number of things that were in there that were, I believe, causing the cancer.
Well, tell me this, was your breathing, like you said, a rough form of the breathing, was that a spontaneous awareness on your part? You
I
said
think
you could
so,
perceive
and
it.
I have to once again give credit to rebirthing about using the more rapid breathing. I later was guided to integrate the full respiratory system into that, which changed the whole complexion of it. And then as years went by, we began using invocations, hands-on, sound, different movement with the breath. And so it totally took on a different form.
Well, I'm very excited about it. So let's talk about, I've got here the scientific literature. Let's talk about some of the things that you can work with this kind of breath. It's not all physical, is it?
No. It's very succinctly divided into three different levels that represent pretty much the three levels of our consciousness or our form: the physical, the mental, emotional, and the spiritual. So transformational breath specifically works on each of those levels in a different way, creating a different result in each level.
So if somebody comes to you, and I know you teach many people to be facilitators, but if somebody were coming to you as a practitioner, they would come because of cancer like you did, or mental health, or addictions, or physical breakage like a broken leg. Is that the sort of thing that would bring people?
Well, it could be, and we don't treat illnesses per se. You know, the foundation of our core philosophy is spiritual. So we are approaching this from a spiritual perspective. So and also my background is metaphysics, and in believing in metaphysics, we know that most conditions, and from my perspective, all conditions in the physical have their origin in mind and emotions. So when we work at that level, then the physical will have spontaneous and also corresponding healings through working at the deeper levels.
Well, that makes sense. What kind of background did you come from? Were your folks also metaphysicians?
Well, it's interesting. I grew up in a kind of a very, I think, religious free atmosphere, because my father came from the Jewish tradition and my mother from the Catholic. So my sister and I dabbled as as youngsters and teens in intertraditional or fundamentalist Christianity. And then as I got older, started studying, I studied Buddhism, Hinduism, Sufism, let's see what else, and then even in the more recent years have been exposed to Muslim traditions. So I kind of have a very eclectic background. So as far as the background of transformational breath, I think you could call it non-denominational, spiritual, and certainly not religious, but having a strong spiritual component.
I love that. Also, when you studied all those different approaches to spirituality, you know, all these different religions, did you find something that used to really get to me when I was young? Did you find the common threads? Did you find a deep commonality amongst them all?
Absolutely. That's why, you know, that's what's so beautiful about it, that at the core of all of them is this understanding of what I would call truth, capital T, of recognizing the oneness of all, and also recognizing love as being the motivating, moving factor in the universe.
Hmm. So did you discover that through your, I guess this is a complex question. I was just thinking, did you discover that through your breathing? I noticed when I picked up speed doing the breathing because of your last interview, which I keep re-listening to. And I've noticed that all of a sudden my body will just radiate some kind of emotion or something that may be blocking that deeper sense of knowing. You know what I mean? Is that
did you
use that? Yes,
I do. And that's part of our journey with transformational breath. And so I studied these different religions and concepts and philosophies, and so my mind, you know, resonated with the wisdom of it. But in transformational breath, we actually get to have the experience of the you know, like our energetic reality, our connection with all of life, our spiritual wholeness. And so that's what's so beautiful about the breath, that it can bring you to, for a lot of people who would come into our programs from recovery standpoint, say they get to feel or experience their higher power. They talk about it all the time, and yet through transformational breath, they get in touch with that part of themselves.
They actually experience it.
Yes.
So you do. You do.
Yeah, we dig on in, and we get in touch with that. You could call it the soul, or the I am, or the higher power.
And how long does it take people? You know, what is kind of the average number of sessions before people really feel more unlocked? Because I think it's about unlocking or getting out of our cocoon of reactions, isn't it?
It is, and it's unlocking the flow of the breath, which is actually our life force and connects us with the universe. When that's free-flowing, then we have more access to our universal connection and more grounding to our roots in the earth. So it's a very, very unique, because everyone starts from a different place from our, let's say, in the journey with transformational breathing. So the first thing we do is look at the way someone breathes and helps them open their respiratory system so they're working with a full open breath, and that will allow them then to go deeper into the subconscious and work with the patterns, like you said, that are blocking that connection. And literally integrate them into a higher state, and then therefore connect with the deeper parts of themselves and more expanded awareness. So someone could come in and their breath was real open. Someone could come in and their breath was real, and that might take a certain amount of days to, you know, or sessions to open. And excuse me. Or someone could come in with their breath open and have done a lot of emotional processing, so that part wouldn't be so long. So I would say the minimum it would take for someone would be at least 3 sessions to have the full experience of the physical, the mental, emotional, and the spiritual. And then after that, there would be an evaluation by their facilitator to see, what would suit them best to continue the journey. It might be come to one of our programs. It might be self-breathe, do self-breathing sessions. It might be to continue to work with them. So there's definitely options when someone does this work.
And did I understand this correctly when I went through your material, that how we breathe says a lot about our personality and how we're running our lives? That's where you do the initial assessment?
Yes, it's such a map. It's such a fascinating map that our breathing pattern, which represents the flow of the breath in the respiratory system, but also the flow, the in and out, the intake and the out breath represent specific things too. So what it actually stands for is our relationship to the life force. It's our relationship to how the life force moves within us, which energy centers are open or closed in different aspects of behaviors and personalities that are related to that. So it's quite a fascinating, totally accurate. It's a science, really. And
yeah, really.
We've been so blessed to get the understanding of this science and transformational breath and use it to support our clients, not to know a lot of stuff about people, although we do, by looking at the way you breathe, we can tell a lot. But it's really about supporting the person in the process by giving them the right affirmations, seeing which maybe where their body needs hand support or muscle, let's say, restructuring. So it's quite amazing to just see the map of the breath or the life force.
I love that. And also, you know, and I'm sure we've all read bits and pieces of this, if not more, but many diseases, many illnesses have their personality profiles, don't they?
They do. They do. One of the required books in our facilitator training is the Louise Hay book, which very specifically pinpoints certain physical conditions in certain parts of the body, and then also just really logically, if someone is not breathing in the lower part of their body, you know what? They're going to have lower body physical symptoms because the life force, not only the breath, but the life force is not accessing those parts of the body. And what we see is that once this shift happens and there's breath and prana and life force flowing to these places, a lot of physical symptoms will just be gone. They'll just be resolved because the body has this innate ability to function perfectly. And when we give it all the elements, it will. You know, the whole process of self-healing is quite phenomenal, which I really, really believe in after my situation.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to get over your throat? Oh, I think I read that you were told by your higher guidance not to focus on your throat cancer at all, but just to keep doing your breathing. Is that right?
Yes, and so, I think the specific statement was, you're perfect, you know, you are perfect spirit, so focus on that and not be looking at how big it is, or it gets smaller today or bigger today, and just really go inside and find out what's inside there.
How long each breathing session did you do? How long did you spend doing each breathing session?
A traditional breathing session is about an hour. Sometimes I would, in that journey, breathe even a little more. Most of the time, around an hour, just going in and bringing in the oxygen, the life force, the awareness, because with breath comes awareness. So bringing all of that in and feeling emotions come up, getting guidance on lifestyle changes and changes in the way I to express myself. So there was a lot that happened through the breathing, even then.
So it really awakened more of your intuitive knowing or your channeling or your working with your guidance?
It did. It did. And it was a big faith walk because, like I said, I had two small children and felt a responsibility to do the right thing by them. And this certainly was, because when it was about a few months later, maybe 4 or 5 months later, that I was putting lotion on my body, and I was put it on my neck, and the tumor was gone.
Woo!
It was just like an epiphany for me, and that it just showed me that the healing was there. But I also knew in that moment that the breath was really the key that took me to the deepest parts and helped me integrate the patterns that needed to. So at that moment, I said, I want to share this with the world. I didn't have any idea what that meant then, but...
Well, you're doing a great job. But you proceeded to have a whole bunch more kids, right?
I did. So, you know, don't have any plans because they get laughed at. I thought I had my perfect little American family, a boy and a girl, house in the suburbs, and all of that. But... over, there was a period of 8 years where I had 6 more children.
So. In 8 years?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. That's a busy
And
life.
I had to breathe. Oh, boy, did I have to breathe then.
And they did, too, eh?
So, oh, yeah. They were raised with the breath.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I want to go back to what you said, which was bringing the breath into different organs, is that right? I mean, how your whole respiratory system a person must become conscious of? Because some people would say, how do you bring your breath into your perineal area or whatever? Can you talk a bit about all that?
Well, and they don't. There is a natural flow of the breath that most people don't realize, and it's working with the correct muscle structure of the diaphragm, which then allows the breath to have this open, full flow. And yet most people, I would say 2/3 of the people, don't even use their diaphragm when they breathe. So it's really a retraining and creating a whole new safety factor around breathing openly and fully that allows the energy that you bring in through the breath and the oxygen to go to what we would call our energy or our chakra system, all the different chakras. There's a natural flow from the bottom up to the highest chakra that when you're breathing correctly, it just happens naturally.
Well, the diaphragm is around the solar plexus, so, isn't it?
I'm sorry?
Where exactly is the diaphragm?
The diaphragm is around the rib cage. It's a fibrous muscle tissue that goes all the way around the rib cage. And when it's relaxed, it's in a dome shape. And then when we use it, it goes down into the abdominal cavity, causing the lower belly and stomach area to expand.
Okay.
And when it relaxes, which is what we do on our exhale, the air just goes out and it goes back into that dome shape. So very few people just tend to do that naturally because there's a lot of defending of our feelings and withdrawal of awareness that happens through our breathing to kind of protect ourselves in this world.
Mm-hmm. Our whole body is structured that way, isn't it? The way we hold all our muscles. But breathe in, you breathe in and you make your lung cavity, your whole diaphragm area big, right?
Well, it just happens because the diaphragm is connected to the lower part of the lungs. So as you breathe in, you're pulling those lungs down, and the air pressure changes, and the lungs fill up. They just fill up naturally. You don't have to do it. If you use that muscle, those lungs will fill up. If you relax that muscle, the lungs will empty, and everybody makes it such a big deal, like so much using so many more muscles and so much more effort or no effort at all. Some people, you'll ask them to breathe and there's absolutely nothing going on, that you hardly know that they're alive, you know, by the way they breathe.
So it's not very hard for people to learn it. In fact, it's getting the focus changed, would you say that?
Well, it's for some, because you're using muscles, so it's kind of like a workout. You know, in the beginning, it could seem like work, but there's a point in every session where, and this is kind of the magical part, there's a point in every session where the breath actually starts to breathe you.
Oh.
And when that happens, it's you're just not doing anything. The life force, I like to call it spirit coming in and actually breathing you, and it's this automatic intense journey that you can go on in internal journey that you can go on with, go in with your breath. And then the facilitator or the coach, which is what we are, is there to guide you or keep you at a comfortable state while you're going through this deep integration. And it's magical to see this energy coming in and just taking over and really going to the places where that energy and life force is needed, the opening is needed.
Wow. And then we have increased oxygen going throughout our body, right?
Yes. And you feel it. You'll feel it. People will feel it in a number of different ways. They may feel tingling. They may feel, if it's an area that's been kind of dead, they might feel some numbness there. They could feel electrical energy, you know, like they're, but what happens is a lot of people and everyone at some point gets in touch with themselves as energy. Like we go right to the core energetic state that we are. And they have that experience of themselves. So it's quite amazing what you feel in a breathing session.
Wow. Well, it sounds wonderful. Also, for a lot of people may not be realizing this, but you can't maintain cancer in your body if you raise your oxygen level. Is that right?
Well, I can't speak from that perspective. I can say that cancer cells cannot live in an oxygenated field. So that's the popularity of a lot of these new oxygen therapies, and they're even in some countries not so new, hyperbaric chambers, ozone therapy, hydrogen peroxide, they're all oxygen based. And because of the let's just say then the relatively inexpensive cost of oxygen therapy, it has not been widely accepted here.
Oh.
And so, but what we do is we train people to oxygenate their cells and their bodies themselves by breathing effectively and by increasing the amount of oxygen that you bring in.
Well, and I've seen on your papers here, your scientific papers, that you're not crazy about the hyperbaric chamber. Is that right?
I just think that there's just more ecological ways to approach this. So. And some people, I understand it's helped a lot. So I wouldn't be against it, but I also know there's a more, less expensive, more organic way to oxygenate ourselves.
So, and I know you don't diagnose, and I know you don't take on specific, you know, illnesses and so on, that it is metaphysics. But I'm really interested in things like brain chemistry and mental health and that sort of thing. It seems like it would help that a lot, wouldn't it?
It does. It does, because brain chemistry, a lot of people, if they're not breathing in their upper respiratory areas, their brain is not getting the oxygen that it needs. And so people will just very simply feel real lightheaded when they do it, because all of a sudden the oxygen and increased blood supply is going to the brain, and that does affect brain capacity and brain functioning. And also as far as mental or psychological, let's say, states, we've had a number of psychologists and who have done research and worked with the breath in severe diagnosis and also very simple diagnosis, post-traumatic stress or fear or panic or anxiety. And I've done research with people diagnosed with manic depression, schizophrenia, psychotic. And so what it does is you can get those electrical impulses to the brain, calm the nervous system down, and I think that's one of the most important things, because people, especially in the modern day, can just be out of balance, and working with the life force in an open, integrated way can help create balance on every level, physically, mental, emotionally, and also open us to spirit, but in a very grounded way.
I should think it would bring tremendous release to people whose anxieties are taking over their lives like that, eh?
Oh, I can say this, that this isn't about stress management. It's about stress resolution. And people who have had, you know, phobias or fears or been in wars, that there's nothing, I can't think of anything that would resolve it better. And I've just seen over these years, I mean, the only thing I've got going is a long history. And over the years, I've seen so many people come into our programs, go through the program, and they're just free. They're just free. It was just a memory. It was just something that, you know, was definitely influencing their lives for a long time. But the breathing, the way we do it, and the way we guide you through it has such incredible healing property.
So it can absolutely change your physiology. That's the thing I'm getting, hey?
Yeah, and
I love that you work with
your approach to life, your whole approach to life.
That's wonderful. I love the way you work with children. There's a wonderful, for anybody who's got the time to go look under Transformational Breath, there's a YouTube or there's a couple of videos, one of them or a couple of them on children.
Yes, that's one of my passions, is working with the young people, that they are. First of all, the potential with young people is so great, because a lot of what we do when we're working with adults is healing the past. But if you give this tool to young people, and, you know, they have, first of all, very short pasts that they seem to transcend very easily, then the next phase is just using it as a tool to stay present, to work with stresses, everyday, daily stresses, on a daily basis, versus having years and years of past trauma and experiences to clean up. So it's a wonderful way to keep them healthy, keep them connected, to keep them, you know, in their loving hearts. So I love working with children.
I love the little video you've got where the children are breathing and breathing, and then you have them scream, yelling and kicking. Do you know that part? Oh, I laugh.
We call that actually toning, and it's a way of moving the energy through sound. But the kids kind of get carried away. They're just like, oh, good, we get to throw a tantrum and let them go, because it'll move energy, and then once they get it back into their breath, they're just freer. They're just freer.
I thought it was a way to actually work out or act out the stuff that's being released with the breath. Is that another way?
It can be. It's not the intention, but you know what? It serves that purpose too.
And the kids were having a wonderful time with it. They're pretty young, or like 4 or 5 year old kids, eh?
Yeah. Well, I believe the video that you're speaking of, I'll have to check it out, is a school that we worked with, and it was actually the whole school. Maybe the video was just of the younger kids, but it was a whole Montessori school in Mexico, and 50 of them showed up, and we took up the whole floor space, and even the principal breathed with us and some of the teachers.
I think that's just so wonderful. And also, when I looked at the little children, I go, what about aging people? You know, I think of people who are being warehoused, older people that are being warehoused, and I'm going, I bet you could help them as well.
Well, there was one of our facilitators who is actually a trainer, and she started working in a lot of retirement homes. She was a yoga teacher as well, and so she developed a program called Golden Yoga, which included transformational breath. But when she got there, she saw the old folks couldn't really do the physical yoga. Mm-hmm. So primarily it turned into a breathing program. And the things, she had actually written a chapter in my book, the things that she saw come back to them, the agility, a lot of people were kind of caught up with what we call a tetany, like a paralysis in the arms, and that brought mobility back there. They could get up off their wheelchairs. But most of all, it filled them with a liveliness and aliveness that was very apparent. And so when she first came into some of these places, I think she was working with 5 or 6 of them in New York, and the staff would just kind of roll their eyes, but they would notice the changes. And then it got to be where they would actually call her in when someone, you know, one of the seniors was going through something, they would actually call her in to work with them. Mm-hmm. So it was quite a nice opening, and I've worked at a few retirement homes too, and interestingly enough, you have to gear yourself because the attention span is that of almost like a preschooler. Like you have to really keep things moving when you're working with that age group.
I wonder if it would improve, it probably would improve memory, huh?
Yeah, it does. Once again, the oxygen to the brain function. And also they're correlating a lot of information with Alzheimer's and metal toxins and metal
right.
poisonings. Mm-hmm. And so as we breathe, not only are we bringing in the oxygen-rich blood, but we're also detoxing in a really, really significant way, like huge detoxification going on the cellular level in the liver. So it can do, I think, some significant purification too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my dream would be that it releases people from some of the more bitter, stultifying responses so that they could die with a sense of their wisdom and power, their light, right?
Oh, yes. Well, we are and have trained hospice workers. I have been called in to situations where people were going through transition, including my mom, and do this breathing during transition, and what a beautiful, peaceful way to release the spirit from the body.
Oh, I love that. That, to me, is very, very, very important. Very touching,
yeah.
Eh?
Yeah.
Now, what about...
We hold on to the fear, you know, in our respiratory system, in the solar plexus, and if you just can put your hand or on that area and just have them breathe into that area and relax, then that fear of letting go, that ultimate let go, can be dissolved.
Isn't that wonderful? I mean, gosh.
It is. Beautiful.
You must feel like you died and went to heaven being able to do this kind of work, eh?
Yeah. You know, I was very familiar with birth, having so many children, and then getting to be part of people's transition is very beautiful, too, because it's interesting. The same energy that's present in birth is also present in transition in or death. So it's quite a beautiful thing, really, when you have a different perspective.
And did you do a lot of transformational breath work about when you're giving birth, or do you help people facilitate their birth that way?
More my daughters and daughter-in-law during their birthing process, and some other dear friends. When I was giving birth, I wasn't using it that much as a tool during my birthing process, although I had 5 natural births at home. It wasn't...
You must be very good at it, darling.
Yeah. But with my grandchildren, you know, just being there and coaching with the breath during birth, it just makes the whole process so much more just integrative. It's just more integrated and faster, and I would just say less intense.
Hmm. Are your kids all facilitators, practitioners?
No, they're not. But they've all done some level of the programs. Three are active facilitators, so that's pretty good. And yet they will all breathe at times.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. So that at least they know how to use it, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do. And they grew up with it. Timeouts were go sit over, and we had a special place, and do 100 connected breaths. And then you would just see the attitude shift in a couple minutes, you know, as far as just getting more centered and more conscious of their behavior.
I should think it would work really well with ADD and that sort of thing, and studies
yes.
at school and hyperactive children.
Yes. In another school that we went to, we were working specifically at times with what they would call the behavioral, I'm trying to think what they call it. I think that they called it the high risk or special needs. That was it, the special needs kids. And so they would bring them in. But basically these were very hyper. And the school psychologist came in as well because she wanted to see what we were doing and if there was any effect. And one time, with 15 minutes, she couldn't believe the change of the energy. They come in punching and jumping and fidgeting, and then we were able to get them the first time breathing for 15 minutes, and the whole energy calmed down, and they were more focused. So we continued to work with them. It's an area where part of it is just getting them to breathe in the lower respiratory areas. And
do they resist you, some of them?
Well, they're just more wanting to, you know, bounce around and poke each other and stuff. So there's a certain level of resistance, but there's, you know, over time you learn how to work with children, just really meet them where they're at and have fun with them and play with them.
And then they'll just do it.
They will. They yeah. will. And especially, you know, that's what they're there to do. They don't have anything else to do. <That's> happening.
So, and you've got something here about pain management. There's a lot of people in chronic pain these days, isn't there?
There is. And a lot of people on
medication.
Long periods of time on drugs. You
oh,
know,
my
on,
gosh.
On medications. And so we can work very well with that. There's something about breathing into an area where there's something, where there's a trauma going on or an injury going on, helps keep the energy moving and helps the healing process. I experienced this probably about 15 years ago when I broke my, I was in another country doing a workshop and I fell and landed on my knee on a cement floor. Mm. And during the workshop, I broke my leg.
Oh, my.
And so I had to finish the workshop. So I just sat down and kept going, but I just also kept breathing into it. And then I was flown home right away the next day.
You were aware that it was broken?
Yeah, yeah. They took me to a hospital in Croatia and you know, took the x-ray, it was broken, and they wanted to do surgery there, and I was just like, no, I think I'm going to go home, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, but the healing process was so fast, I only took Advil for a couple of days, and just kept breathing into it, and a lot of feelings came up, and a lot of it, could feel a lot of energy and actual pain in that area while I was breathing, but it healed in a couple weeks, which nobody could believe.
Wow. And no ramifications from it?
No physical therapy, just life force. You know, it's miraculous.
So you're saying that if we have pain, focusing into that with the breath, is that right?
Yes. So you can, as long as you're using your full respiratory system, the energy is going to go everywhere. But if you can consciously, you know, direct your awareness into those spots, it will be even more powerful.
Hmm. So can people get off things like Oxycontin and that sort of thing by doing the breath and around, you know what I mean? They get into this stuff because of pain and then they can't get out of it again.
It's more, they probably may start with physical pain, but then I think the ongoing is emotional. And we've worked with a lot. Matter of fact, we've got a couple people who are actually doing full-time transformational breath in rehab centers.
Oh,
so the intention needs to be there and the commitment to really be free. Otherwise, it's not going to work with anything, actually. Mm-hmm. And so it can be very effective in working with addictions. And, of course, there's a withdrawal and that needs to be medically supervised. So we work with physicians when we do that.
So in the withdrawal, do you use like, it seems to me the breath would help a great deal with withdrawal, will it?
Absolutely, because of all the detoxing that happens. And yet we're not Pollyannish about it to know that there's certain things. For example, many, many people are on antidepressants. And when people
isn't that
do the breathing, they feel, well, I'm not depressed anymore. I should get off these pills. And we totally recommend working with the physician that put them on the medication because withdrawal from that can be very serious. And so we're just real mindful. We are not medical practitioners and don't get involved with people's drug use, and yet they're doing the breathing can be a wonderful way to you know, recover from addictions for mm-hmm. sure.
It's part of the detox process, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hmm. And then what about things that are, for example, somebody's born with spina bifida and they've got a tremendous amount of, or somebody develops MS and that sort of thing. Have you ever worked with any people that are that extreme?
Yes. And it's quite amazing. For for example, the coordination that can come back, the mobility that can come back with someone with MS or cystic fibrosis, how the lungs can clean out a lot of coughing, a lot of mucus coming up, the lungs just basically getting stronger and cleaner. Spinal bifida is something that, let's just say, it could be put in a category of different spinal conditions, that there can be a lot of relief because, once again, it's creating a flowing energy flow in the body and in the energy field. So things are moving, and sometimes patterns of tension or chronic pain actually get broken up. And then, once again, going deeper into the emotional components of it, too.
I think it's just very, very exciting, isn't it? Where is it all going? Like, because I'm watching you, as you're speaking about it, I'm going, boy, I want to learn to play the piano, and I think I should probably up the breathing. Do you see what I mean? It's like,
I do. Well, you know, years ago, I had heard the real healing is energy healing, like working at the true level of healing. And there's a lot of wonderful energy medicine now, phenomenal things. And yet I feel the breath could be the state of the art energy medicine because, first of all, we generate it ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we can reach very high frequency states and components while we're doing this breathing. So it's a way of, it's like the most fine energy healing available because of those things. So I believe energy medicine, unless they come out with something better or stronger, you never know. Things keep evolving. But through, sound is an incredible one, and we work a lot with sound. Of course, the presence, invoking the presence of the beings of light is incredible tool as well. So we bring those all together, and especially a higher awareness of the facilitators. Just miracles happen every session.
Isn't that exciting?
It is.
Now, I don't know if this is impossible, Judith, but can you give us like a very mini experience with it right now, or is that too hard?
I can. Can you hear the thunder in the background?
I guess we're having
major thunderstorms here, so I'm going to stay with you as long as I am able to. Okay, so a breathing session has a different components to it. First of all, we would design an alliance with our client, tell them how we work and what we would expect with them, from them. And we work with what we call transformational coaching pre and post session so that we can identify the client's goals, support them in their goals, get to know about, you know, a little bit about their lives and a little bit of their physical and mental and emotional history. And so we'll spend the first session maybe a half hour speaking with them and then telling them about how transformational breath works and what they would be expected to do, which is really just breathe and do what we say, and tell them, just show them how we work with the hands-on in transformational breathing. And then we would start them with the breath, transformational breath, and that would go on probably for about 50 minutes. And so some people go, oh my gosh, breathe for that amount of time. But it's interesting, while someone is in the process, they are in an altered state, and that time, there's no way. They say, how long did I breathe? And I said, an hour. And they go like, no way. It seemed like 5 or 10 minutes. So actually, there's a whole transcendence of time. So they would do that, and then we would gradually bring them back because most people are just in a whole different state by the end of the session. They're very dysfunctioning from different levels, more the heart and soul level than the body and mind. So there's a gradual coming back and a talking about the experience, and then kind of a processing time and setting up the next session. And so like I said, there's pre and post session coaching, and then there's the actual breathing. Then ideally, I like to work with people when I'm working with them a week apart for at least 3 sessions, depending how they've done Maybe more and maybe less.
And then, they would practice each day till you...
They would. We have a little practice CD we would give them where they would do this 5-minute exercise a couple times a day. And so that people learn from the beginning that their breathing is their responsibility, you know, to take on some responsibility for how we breathe and what we do with our breath. We weren't taught in the beginning, but we certainly can pick up the ball, you know, when you decide to get into it consciously.
Oh, and so the breath is sort of a deep in that focuses on the, what, lower part of the chest?
No, it focuses everywhere from the pubic bone all the way up to the throat.
Oh, okay.
So that's when we were using it openly and effectively, the air and the movement goes all the way through there.
I'm just practicing it right now. It's wonderful. Now, I'm conscious that we don't have a ton of time left, and I want you to talk to people. Oh, we do have, say, 6 or 8 minutes. But I want you to tell people where you're going to be teaching this next seminar. There's 2 seminars coming up. One of them is on the West Coast, and one's on the East Coast, right?
Well, the one on the East Coast already happened, the beginning one, but I've got a number of them scheduled between now and next year, but quite coming up is going to be one in Duval, Washington, mm-hmm. And there's an organizer who lives in that area who one would contact or could go on our website, transformationalbreathing.com, and you could see the different schedule, but there will be one in Duval, Washington, starting next Monday. Actually, a week from, is today Monday? No, today's Tuesday, mm-hmm. A week.
Today's Monday.
Okay, thank you.
Hard to keep track.
And you just get so high. And then there's one coming up, a beginning one in October, in San Diego area, then there'll be one in San Antonio, Texas. These are the seminar programs. They're a week long. But we also offer introductory weekends, and there's 2 of those, one coming up in November in San Antonio and one coming up in Sarasota, Florida in December. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to be back in Florida in February and Bali in April. Come on down to Bali.
Wow. But aren't you going to Kuwait as well?
Yeah. I'll be going to Kuwait probably next fall. I'll be going back to Turkey in May and then the UK in June. So,
oh, Ma, you really get around, don't you, Judith?
Well, it's just happening. You know what? There's something going on that where people are innately becoming aware of the importance of their breathing and what it can bring to them, and really the awareness of how dysfunctional most people's breathing is. Mm-hmm. And so I think people are feeling this, that there's something there for them in their breath, whether it's a physical need, a mental, emotional, or a spiritual, it can be addressed with the breathing.
I love that.
Yes.
But even though it's better for us to come and be under the tutelage of more experienced people, is there a CD or a book that people could refer to in order to get going, to get started?
Sure. I have a book and another one I'm going to be released this year, but the book is called Breathe Deep, Laugh Loudly, and it's available on our website, too. You can order the hard copy or there's a downloadable version.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a number of guided session CDs, but honestly, this process is so deep and so intense that I would strongly recommend that someone work, either come to a workshop or work with an individual practitioner. We have them all over the world now to have those initial experiences, because you go in to experiences like your birth or early childhood trauma, and you don't have the objectivity or the wherewithal to bring yourself through it, to stay into it. And so conceivably you could get stuck in that space, maybe even for a few days. And so the people who are trained know how to complete that cycle, whatever cycle comes up, complete it so that pattern is resolved. So it's really important to work with a professional, I believe.
And how long does it take to be a professional? Is that like a bunch of courses or?
It's not. It's you take the initial week-long seminar, which I mentioned are coming up, and then a couple of times a year we do a cycle of facilitator training, which is 2 7-day periods spaced apart, a couple months apart. And those can be taken anywhere in the world. They're offered in different places. And then, of course, there's homework, and there's practice sessions, and there's reading, so it's not just showing up for the 2 weeks. And someone could get certified if they were fast-tracking it in as much as 6 months, as soon as 6 months, or normally it takes a person within a year. But there's constant there's apprenticing, there's coming to those 2 weeks. So you're in the work pretty intensely.
That sounds absolutely wonderful. And I want to throw us back into the Middle East and just to tell people at home, what's going on over there? Is this a popular movement there as well?
Well, there's, for example, in Turkey, we've had the greatest growth of anywhere in the world.
Wow.
Which is quite phenomenal, because who would have ever thought? But literally hundreds of people have been trained there, and the ones who are doing it professionally are doing very well, and the programs are very big, a couple hundred people, so it's kind of mind-blowing as far as what's going on comparatively other places. There was a wonderful development of transformational breath in Kuwait starting about 3 years ago, and it's growing, and we now have about 10 trainers, people who can actually lead workshops and train women who have come from Kuwait or Saudi Arabia or some of the other Middle Eastern countries. So this is I think it's really significant for the empowerment of women and for the changing of consciousness there.
Yes, because they've been locked in and they are trying to emerge. I've heard this.
Yes, yes.
Or they're wanting to emerge. Well, it's very, very exciting. What would you like to say to people? Like, you're including sound. Do we need to be concerned about that if we get going on transformational breath right away, or do you put the sound in after, or is that a part of the course?
Well, if someone gets the guided session, there's a part where you would make sounds with me while we're breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very organic thing that happens, that at any point during a session or practicing, the energy feels overwhelming, then a clear, pure sound is just the perfect thing to do, and it will happen. And just kind of, kind of thing, maybe a little louder, and the energy will move. So
and the sound makes its way through you, does it?
I'm sorry?
And the sound sort of spontaneously makes its way through you?
Yes, yes. Well, it'll make its way through the breather, and there are people that go in and say, well, I'll never do that. That's not me. And then, boy, they're just toning away.
Kind of like the children, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Judith Kravitz, this has been just so wonderful. You have me very inspired. I hope you can tell. And
I hope to see you. You have to come and visit us and have a firsthand experience of what we do.
I would love to do that, actually. And we'll talk again, because I'm very, very enthusiastic about the transformational breath work that you're inspiring us to learn.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for being a paradigm shifter. And good night, everyone. Thank you so much for listening.